We left off last week talking about all the mistakes that happen in our kitchens. So the basic principle was basing itself off the sugyas that appear in Maseches Chulin about if you have a kederah shebisha b'abosa leivasha b'cholam and bisha b'nesin tam. If you have a fleishik pot and you used it, my mistake called milchiks. So if the milk gives tam into if the bleas of the walls of the pot give tam into the milk, so that's going to pose a problem. It's going to trafe up the milk, it's going to trafe up the pot, everything's going to be a problem. So the Rishonim said that all these halachas apply, even if it's not a pot, it could be a spoon also, a ladle. So if I stick a milchik ladle into chicken soup or vice versa, so I'm going to have the same kinds of problems. So we mentioned last week that even though the Gemara speaks about the term of nosen tam, the Gemara itself tells us that it's not always so easy to determine nosen tam. Sometimes goyim aren't around to do it, but sometimes we're not going to want to have the goyim do it for whatever reasons. And therefore the Gemara says that as a backup plan B is shishim. That whenever you have 60 times of one to the other, you can assume that whatever time is there is probably going to be bottled anyway. It becomes very difficult to be mishar. How are you ever going to know whether you have shishim? So it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough to try to figure out whether the shishim of the spoon that went in, shishim of the ladle that went in, etc. It's not always going to be so simple to figure that out. But that's the basic klal, that whenever the shishim, so you're good to go. There is another halacha that that converges together with everything we've been talking about. It's something that we've mentioned a little bit in the past as well. That b'medivah mamurim, when is all of this true? That's all when the tam that's being given from the bleas, from the absorptions inside, either inside the walls of the pot or inside the walls of the spoon, the ladle, etc. That's only true of those, if that tam is nice and tam or shavach, if it's good, if it's something that's giving off a good taste. But if it's giving off what's called the nosen tam of gam, if the taste has already been ruined inside the walls of the pot or inside the walls of the spoon, inside the walls of the ladle, so then you can forget about it. Then it's not going to be a problem. That's the kula called Nosin Tam of Gam. That's the Gemara at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us that this is derived based on Psukim. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat an Avela, but rather you give it to the Goyim. So from the fact that you're giving it to the Goyim, that implies that's edible. So if it's not edible, then it's not called an Avela. So it's called an Avela Hashem Ruel Ager. So the Gemara tells us the important corollary to that principle is what's called the Kederah Sheinu Ben Yomo. So we spoke a little bit about this a few weeks ago. Whenever you have a pot or a spoon or any kind of a utensil that has bleas in it, but the bleas have already been there for more than 24 hours, we assume that the bleas are no longer tasting good. And therefore, that's going to change all the rules of everything that we spoke about until now. Even though we are used to the magic number 24, that's the view that appears in Shulchan Aruch, that's the view of most Rishonim, not everyone agreed to that magic number. There are those who said that the phrase Eino Ben Yomo, it's interesting, the Gemara never says 24 hours. The Gemara doesn't say Be'ez Li'ez. The Gemara says Eino Ben Yomo. So there was some Rishonim who said that Eino Ben Yomo means that it's already passed over a night. It's already had a Linus Lila. It's already a night has passed. So somehow, miraculously, a night changes everything. It's very hard to understand the physics and the metaphysics, but somehow a night is considered to be sufficient to be po-game. And even if it's not yet a full 24 hours, that would also be good. So we don't really follow that. We paskin la'aloch that you need a full 24 hours. Every once in a while, the poskim will bring that up, the little tchis amesim v'achit, and say, well, it's probably mutter anyway, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Even though it didn't have a full 24 hours, it had a linus layla, maybe it's kind of a mitzvah, a little bit lakula. But again, that's out of the ordinary. The regular standard question that the Rav will ask is it more than 24 hours or not? Then it becomes even more complicated. What if you don't know the answer to that question? So we have another rule called Stam Kelim Eino Ben Yomo. Most probably it's not 24 hours, that already has its own rules. But again, the basic criteria that we're using are going to be, is it within 24 hours or is it after 24 hours? Let's just play out a little bit what that means practically. So I have my pot of chicken soup and I stick in a milchik spoon into the pot. That's the worst case scenario. I mean, it's not a bowl, it's not a klisheni, it's not a davagush, not all the things we spoke about last week. It's the real McCoy. It's piping, hot, boiling, with the fire on. Can't get worse than that. And I stick in the wrong spoon. So what's my reaction to what happened? So the wheels start to turn. Ooh, is there shishim? How much of the spoon went in? And it's a metal spoon, so do we have to take into account the whole spoon, a part of the spoon, everything we spoke a little bit about the last week? And then we say, wait a second, hold the phone. When did I use the spoon last? I haven't used the spoon in a week. Now, when I say I haven't used the spoon in a week, so that doesn't necessarily mean I haven't used it in a week. It means I haven't used it in a way that would have given bleas to the spoon of the week. Let's say I ate my cold Cheerios with milk with the spoon this morning. So that's called not using the spoon. If I washed it in hot water with other things, that may become use the spoon again. Let's say the yeshivish way of washing dishes. You know, not yet, so let's go. But koshi some water. So I have a spoon that I used with cold milk and Cheerios an hour ago. That's not called using the spoon. But if I used it 2 hours ago with my to stir a pot of oatmeal and milk or something, some real milchiks, so that's our milchik spoon. So what would the din be if the spoon is within 24 hours? So it's a nosin tam l'shavach. So then all the halachas that we spoke about now govern what just happens. And I have a big problem. If there's not shishim in the pot connected to the spoon, whatever that means connected to the spoon, so I just trafed up everything in the pot, and I just trafed up the pot itself, and I trafed up the spoon also. That's if it's within 24 hours. What if it's after 24 hours? So here, the following three halachas kick in. If I use an Eino Ben Yomo spoon, this is literally Ma'is Mechol Yom, use an Eino Ben Yomo spoon in a fleshik pot, so whatever tam comes shooting out of the spoon is a nosin tam lufgam, that it doesn't really bother me. Now, even though I'm not allowed to use the spoon for fleshiks, I wasn't supposed to treat this spoon as no longer being a milchik spoon. That's the gezeira that the Gemara says, the end of Avodah Zarah, gezeira Eino Ben Yomo to Ben Yomo. The Chazal made a takona, that even though in Torah it's already Eino Ben Yomo, so you don't have to worry about it anymore, but Midrabanan, that's not a good idea. Because if you let people use spoons that are Eino Ben Yomo, next thing you know is they're going to use the Ben Yomo spoon. So Midrabanan, you're not supposed to do this. But that din derabanan was only made lechatchila, wasn't made b'diavad. If after the fact I use the milchik spoon, if it's not really, truly, technically, halachically milchik anymore, because it's more than 24 hours since its last use in hot water and hot milchiks, so then b'diavad, it's not going to trafe up the chicken soup. So as long as I can answer that question either with certainty or with probability or with stab yom, stab kerem and b'yom, whatever the answer to that question is, if halachically I can say with a straight face that this spoon has not been used within 24 hours, then the contents of the pot are going to remain mutter. So the chicken soup remains kosher. The pot for sure remains kosher. But I think it's a little bit tricky. The spoon becomes, who wants to take a guess what the spoon is now? So you're going to think, well, the spoon itself, it must be treif because it's getting bleas of chicken soup into the spoon. And doesn't it have bleas of milchiks in the spoon? So if you really think about this hard, this spoon is not treif because it doesn't have a blea of basav chalav inside its walls. Because all the bleas of milchiks are already gone. I mean, not really gone, but halachically gone because it has a tam of gam. So it's got a nosin tam of shavach of chicken soup with a nosin tam of gam together of milk. So that does not translate to mean basav chalav. So this spoon is not treif. You know what the spoon is? This spoon is fleishiks because it was used to stir chicken soup. This spoon is also milchiks because it was used to stir oatmeal last week with milk. So it's a milchik spoon and a fleishik spoon together. I didn't say treif yet. It's a milchik spoon and a fleishik spoon. Now, me'ika didn't really, it's not really milchiks anymore because it's nosen tam of gam, but with the rabbanan you have to treat as being milchiks. So this spoon is now has bleas of fleishiks in it, as well as bleas of milchiks in it. And therefore, you are not allowed to use the spoon neither for fleishiks nor for milchiks. Because if you use it for fleishiks, so you're violating the din derabbanan of gezeira shein ben yomo to ben yomo. If you use it for milchiks, then you're violating the real din because it has real bleas of chicken soup in it. So this spoon is off limits either for fleishiks or for milchiks. What you can use the spoon for is parma. Right? Why not? You could use the spoon for parma. That's the ikra din. So there's a minig yisrael, an age old minig yisrael that says no. This is to what drawer are you going to put the spoon into? It's not the thing with the little rubber band around that's sitting and waiting for next year's Erev Pesach. If I would tell you how many times I have kashered Caleb after Pesach, because all the stuff that my wife leaves me aside to remember to do before, and we don't even kasher Caleb before Pesach, but there's like the psychology in people's minds. All kashering problems are always pushed off till it's like Erev Chatzeret. Everything is pushed off till Erev Pesach. So they're all pushed off the Erev Pesach. Then, of course, by the time I find all the stuff with the rubber bands, all the chametzicha pots are already put away. So, and I don't know about after Pesach. Usually, the day after after Pesach, I'm sitting around kashering last year's problems. So I can't put it into the treif pile because it might not treif. On the other hand, I can't treat it as fleishiks because that bleas of milchiks. I can't treat it as a milchik because that's bleas of fleishiks. I could use the parva. This is just a bad protocol because you can use the parva. So the next thing you know is you can end up using it for other things also. And therefore, I can't say I did the rabbanim. There's a minhag Yisrael that we kasha such a spoon. We don't want to have kalim floating around that are, when they ask you what is it, it's fleishiks and melachiks. It doesn't sound right. Your wife's not going to buy that one from you. So therefore, the minhag is to kasha. I remember years ago there was a certain mix-up in a kitchen. It was not an RCBC kitchen, different institution. Then all the fleshy pots were supposed to have a red, paint on it, and all the milky pots were a little bit of blue, and of course there were some pots that had a little bit of both. So the question is, what are we supposed to do with that? So I think the Astro chef said, must be their parva pots. It was a joke, it wasn't supposed to be. Real. So they ended up kashering all the pots myself. Like, okay, anyway, back to the story. So it's very, very important to ask that question, is the kli called the ben yomo? Because if it's an eidah ben yomo, then again, the contents of the food and the pot and everything, that's going to be good. The kli itself is still going to be required to be a kashin. Everything about eidah ben yomo can be trumped very, very simply with one other principle called the davar charif. Davar charif is like the worst thing that could happen in your kitchen. There are two gemaras about the davar charif, one of masechta Benizar, one of masechta Chulin. And when you put together the whole idea of the davar charif, it basically boils down to is as follows, that when you have something that's sharp, so sharpness can change some of these halachas. Sharpness could potentially change the kula of Eidah ben Yomo. Sharpness can change other kinds of kulas of Nafar. Now, it's a whole array of different kulas and uchas kashras that can be thrown into question when you're dealing with the davar charif. The question is, what is a davar charif exactly? So, like usual, the Gemara gives you one or two examples and leaves the rest of us up for our imagination. So there is a big machlekes in the Rishonim, what do we do with that? So usually when you have these kinds of shilas, you very often have two different approaches. So when the Gemara gives you a klal, and then it gives you a prat, gives you a few. So is this a klal a prat? In mechal mashe be prat? Or does this mean no? It's like a prat of klal, like you could add on a lot of other things. So you have some Rishon who say, Chazal told us this is the davar charif. We're not mechuv to assume that everything under the sun is the davar charif. And other Rishonim say, no, whatever looks to us, tastes to us, a little sharp, who knows, maybe that is enough for davar charif. So this is a big, big question. So a lot of shayas that come up in the kitchen involve davar charif. These are the slicing of the onions and the cooking of the onions, all these kinds of things. The reason why the davar charif causes such a problem in the kitchen is because the regular rules of Eidah ben Yomo don't apply. So even, let's say, if I have a knife that was used for milking last week, and now I cut an onion with it today, so that onion may still be milchik. I mean, normally b'diavad, whatever it's Eidah ben Yomo was okay, but if it's a davar charif, that would be always a problem, assuming that it's really called a davar charif. So we usually assume that onions are called dvarim charif, although not everybody even agrees to that. There was a sefer that was put out like a review book on Hilchos Bas Becholov, like a picture book. So there was a famous picture on the front. It was a picture of a knife cutting an onion and with the caption said something like, ata choshev ze pashut, ze lo pashut, something like that. That was like I think it's an easy question. So the Bechar throws things off. Somebody wrote a sefer about the Bechar, about a 500-page sefer, about everything you ever wanted to know about the Bechar, in case you're interested in some light reading over the next few days. Okay, anyway, back to that story. So much of our discussion about mix-ups that happened in the realm of Bas Becholov have been talking about pots and pans and spoons and ladles, that kind of stuff. Those are the more common shilas. But the original mix-ups that the Chazal does, that the Mishnah speaks about, the Braisa speaks about Caleb, about pots, but the original mix-ups that the Mishnah speaks about in Daf Kuf Ches is that famous Sugya of Tipas Cholam that we made reference to a couple of shiurim ago. A lot of the clone of Tipas Cholam become the source for much of our discussion, so I just want to go back for a little bit and just clarify one or two things in that Sugya. Like a 6 months ordeal, but try to clarify one or two things in the sugya of Tipas Cholov just before we move on, in terms of just having clear some of the principles that govern mix-ups in the Rav Bas Becholov. So the Mishnah starts out with the Tipas Cholov shenafla ala chaticha, that if you have a Tipas Cholov that falls onto a piece of meat, so it's clear from the context of the Mishnah and the Gemara that you can have mix-ups in pots of meat in one of two ways. Either you can have a drop of milk that falls mamish into the pot itself, have a big, big pot of cholent, and the milk falls right smack into the middle of everything, and that now the entire pot is thrown into question. That's one kind of a mix-up. Or you can have situations where some of the chatichas are actually above the water level. Some of the chatichas are sticking out of the pot. So you have a big, big piece of meat, and a drop of milk falls onto just that chaticha. So So it affects that chaticha, but presumably it doesn't impact on the rest of the pot. Those are the two kinds of scenarios that play out in the Mishnah. So the stipas cholav shenofel ala chaticha, and then the stipas cholav shenofel ala kedeira. What's the difference? So the Mishnah says a big, big difference. That when I try to figure out about nosetam, or try to figure out today bizman as a shishim, so what goes into the shishim? What goes into the calculation? So the answer is, anything that is affected by this milk will help us to try to reach that magic number of shishim. So let's say, Lamosho, I have a pot of a chicken soup, cook it up, and a little bit of milk falls in. So I'm not going to say as follows, oh, Baruch Hashem, I got six other pots in the other kitchen. So those pots are going to help me with shishim connecting the milk. That's the Leitonus. Obviously, whatever is not shayach to the tarobus, whatever is not helping diffuse the milk, whatever is not absorbing the milk into it, obviously is not going to contribute towards the shishim. So here the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us you have to be very, very careful. Just because everything is in the same pot doesn't necessarily mean that everything is participating in that same tarovas. So you have to be careful, is it a nafla la chaticha? So then only im yesh b'osa chaticha levatla, it's going to be mudar. If nafla socha kedera, then you have a right to take in the entire kedera. So in a certain sense, falling into a kedera is better. If it falls into the whole pot, hakobikokol, that will give you the entire pot to help be mevatla the shishim. If it falls into one chaticha, so then you'll be limited in terms of being b'shar shishim. Then, as you can imagine, and you may have fond memories of, it's not even all so easy to determine what's called one chaticha, what's called multiple chatichas, whether the chatichas partially submerged, partially out of the water, partly in the water. Rashi and the Ri and whole stories begin just to iron out some of the mitzias advarim, what's called as part of the tarovas. But the basic gist of the entire sugya is that it's important to isolate what is part of the tarovas, because whatever's part of the tarovas is going to help contribute to the shishim. So, okay. But we're going to go. What happens when if you could just isolate the chaticha? So then we go one step further. Then the Gemara raises the question, what if the following happens? What if a drop of milk falls onto one chaticha, and we've pretty comfortable, we've isolated that problem. We know we have a problem with that chaticha, and we're looking at the chaticha, and we don't seem to have shishim. So we're about to paskin that chaticha is asur, and then what happens? Then that chaticha then gets mixed up into the rest of the pot. So your initial reaction would be great. That's the greatest. We're so happy that happened. Because once that happened, now we can save the whole chaticha. Because now we have shishim of the whole pot. Remember we said that whatever's part of the tarovas is going to help you. So this sounds like it's great. So Gemara says, this is not so good. This is not only not so good, this is actually terrible. If the drop would have fallen right into the tarovas right away, everything would have been done immediately. So then I would have said, shishim in the whole kedera knocks off the tipa. But once that tipa is chalav asad one chaticha, so three magic words kick in, called chaticha, nases, nevela. So once that first chaticha became asura because it didn't have enough to be vatal the milk, it became bos b'chalav. So if you think about it, I have a real bos b'chalav piece here. I have a good piece of meat and a little bit of milk fell onto the meat. I don't have shishim levatla satipa. That's bos b'chalav deraisa. That's mamash bos b'chalav deraisa. So now the Gemara says a chiddush that once I declare that that's bas b'chov deraisa, so now that entire piece is asur. It's not the milk anymore that's a problem. The milk trafed up the entire piece. If I take a kezayis, if I eat a kezayis of the meat, even though I didn't necessarily get any of the milk, I'm eating bas b'chov deraisa. That's the pash, that's the sugya of bas b'chov deraisa, that the entire piece becomes a shtik isur. That's what's called chaticha nasas nevela. Now, if I go ahead and I stir up the pot, if somebody, by mistake, starts to stir up the pot, so now, when I want to know, do I have shishim keneged what? I can no longer ask, do I have shishim keneged the drop of milk? That's history. Do I have shishim keneged that first entire piece of meat? So once the first piece of meat became asur, chaticha nas nevela, the oser is called chaticha skula. Now, the number shishim just became astronomically larger. So unless I have a humongous, industrial-sized chulin pot, I'm going to have a big problem now because I can no longer be mevatel just merely the original tip. I have to be mevatel the much larger shear of the chaticha.
Is there a shear for a chaticha? What exactly is a chaticha?
Or just once I declared it to be, whatever was declared to be also, whatever was out of the rotev, whatever was out of the gravy to start with, however you define being out of the gravy, whatever your definition is, once that issa was chal on the first piece, then the game's over. That whole piece, whether it's this big or this big, yeah, so but you'll be mechaber to Lazmi Mitz. There are some Rishon who claim that Chatich Nas Nevela only applies to Chaticha, a good geshmak, a piece. And it doesn't apply to small, much, much smaller things. That's a big, big chiddush, whether that's even true. But there is such a view in Rishon that says that. So this is the basic klal called chetichah nasa nevela. Does everybody agree to chetichah nasa nevela? Almost everybody. So the Gemara says it, the Gemara itself presents it as a machlokes, but lahalacha, we accept it. There's one day in Rishonim that claims that maybe, when all the dust settles, maybe it's actually rejected. Maybe it's shalok halacha tichanas nevela. But again, nobody really holds it. Shulchan Aruch in your day, that view is not quoted. We pass it, lahalacha maisa, is a principle of tichanas nevela. Therefore, even when you have tarobus as a bas b'cholov, you can't jump to say, oh, no problem, I have shishim, everything's good. You have to ask yourself, was the tarobus v'asachas? Do you have a chetichnas nevela problem on your hands? In this sugya chetichnas nevela, there was a major machlekes, 2 days in Tosfos between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam. How far this principle goes? If you notice, we've been talking a lot about bas b'cholov. We're going to hopefully, as the year goes on, switch over to more of a tarobus kinds of shaylas. In the olden days, they had a lot more tarobus shaylas than the necessarily bas b'cholov shaylas because they had a lot of tray for food floating around. Because, let's say, a person, shechitas happened in people's own houses. So every once in a while, you had nevelas rolling around. Every once in a while, you had chaylev that hadn't been removed properly. People were kashering chickens in their own kitchens. So sometimes they forgot the kasher and you had dam floating around. So you had a lot of trafus floating around in people's homes. Today, today we do get trafus floating in people's homes, but it's a very different kind of trafus. It's, I bought the wrong, I bought the thing that I thought last week had the OU, and I realized I just lost the OU because it just became trafus. Those kinds of trafus. It's a little bit of a different different picture of trafus. So a lot of the shadows, more the shadows that we have, are really bas b'chol shadows. So there's Machlekes Rebbeinu Tam and Rebbeinu Ephraim, 2 days in Tosfos, about the following shadow. This principle of chetichah nasa nevela that was said by Chazal in bas b'cholov, does this spill over to other Isurim as well? Let's say a parallel kind of a shayla. I'm cooking a pot of kosher food, and there's a piece of meat, whatever it is, a piece of meat sticking out, jutting out of the pot, and not a drop of milk falls in, but a drop of trefus falls in, a chaza, whatever, something else falls in. So I immediately start doing my calculations, my shishim calculations, the same calculations. So I ask myself, well, do I have shishim and that chaticha? I'm not going to be mishai what's not connected to this chaticha. The chaticha is above the water level. There's no shaychas to the stuff on the bottom. So then I'm going to just be mishai with this chaticha. And unfortunately, I fall short. I only have 15 out of 60 times. So your day kicks in and says, this piece of food is trey. You can't eat this food anymore. It has no sintam, according to we pass in Shulchan Aruch. It's an issa deraisa potentially. And even though I can't see the chazer, but there's a little bit of chazer floating around in this food, so I have to trape up this food. And then what happened? So somebody went ahead and now literally stirs the pot. So now all of a sudden, I have this chaticha that I just declared to be trafe, now gets mixed up into the rest of the pot. So do I continue the equation and say, well, just as in Uchuz Bas B'cholov, I said, Tipas Cholov Shenafal Al Chaticha, V'acharkach Nira Sakadeira, so I say, Chaticha Nas Nevela. And now I need Shishim Kenega, the entire first chaticha. So do I carry it over that parallel halacha to kashrus, to isurim, machos isurim as well? That chaticha atzba nase is chazir, chaticha nase is lobster, chaticha nase is whatever it is. And now that first chaticha was asur, and now I need shishim kenega the entire chaticha. Do I say no? The buck stops here. That parasha, that sugi of chaticha nas nevela was only said by Bas B'cholov. In the Gemara, it doesn't appear anywhere else except for Bas B'cholov. Is there a reason to believe that it doesn't make sense out of Bas B'cholov? So this is where the Baal HaTosfos is parted ways. So Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Baal HaTosfos, said that the principle of chetichah nasa nevela only makes sense in bas b'cholov. Why is that? Because if you think about it, in Hilchos bas b'cholov, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, and there's nothing wrong with drinking milk. Each one is a davar hamutar. The problem is the combination, is the hybrid. When the two join together, that's when the problem starts. So if I have a tarobus of bas b'cholov here, can I say, oh, that's the trefa part and that's the kosher part? The milk was kosher, the meat was kosher. Now the meal is kosher, now the milk is straight, now the meat is straight. So bas b'cholov, by its very definition, since each one, b'fnei atzmo, is a davar mutar, lends itself to the notion of chaticha nasa nevela, now everything is asur, because I can't point to what's asur, what's mutar. But by other isurim, when I have, let's say, I have a piece of, I have a big potato, and a little drop of chaza falls onto the potato, there's nothing wrong with the potato. The potato was mutter, and the potato is mutter. The problem is I can't eat the potato, because if I eat the potato, I'm going to, by definition, taste some of the tarfus, taste some of the chazer. So the chazer is omer b'isuro, and the potato is omer b'atero. It's a logistical nightmare. I can't eat the potato, because by doing so, I'm inevitably going to be tasting chazer. But the potato doesn't become chazer. So when, why basa b'chalav? So the chaticha is heter, because it's all heter. Milk is heter and meat is heter. So they combine together to become a davar aser. By potatoes and chazir, there's no chaticha nases, there's no potato nases chazir. There's no such thing called potato nases chazir, says Rabbi Ephraim. Potato is blipe the potato. When the chazir blipe the chazir, I guess I can't eat the potato because of the chazir. So that's going to help us, says Rabbi Ephraim. When you have a little chaz that falls onto a potato, and now that potato gets mixed in to the rest of the pot, I don't need shishim connected to the potato, because there's nothing wrong with the potato. I need shishim connected to the original chazer, so which is tantamount to saying, there's no chatich nasnel b'shari sur. That was the famous shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Tam disagreed. Rabbeinu Tam says it's not true. Rabbeinu Tam said that chatich nasnel is just as true by potatoes and chazer as it is by milk and meat. What's the rationale for Rabbeinu Tam? The chur Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. So there's a machlekes and we've shown him why Rabbeinu Tam said what he said. So the Ran in Maseches Chulin claims that Min HaTorah Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. Min HaTorah Rabbeinu Tam agreed that Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. This principle of Chatich Nas Nevela, which is a deraisa de kaklal, this only makes sense in Uchaz Bas B'chalav. It makes zero sense outside of Bas B'chalav. But people are going to get confused. If you're going to start paskining, there's no Chatich Nas Nevela by Shari Surim, then people are going to get mixed up and they're going to start passing no chatich nas nevela by basa b'chalav as well. And that's going to lead to problems on a level of deraisa. So there's a standard answer. The standard answer is, if you mix the pot and now you have chatich nas nevela, we're going to assert mid rabbanan. So according to the Ran's version of Rabbeinu Tam, it's only a chubah mid rabbanan. But Rabbi Kivega discovered a tosis that most people just read right past it, but Rabbi Kivega discovered a tosis where it's clearly that tosis didn't think that's what Rabbeinu Tam meant. The Rabbeinu Tam meant that is the real din min haTorah. It's tacha din min deraisa. Why does it work? How does it work? This is part of Tamik Ikur. This is part of a whole another time, another place. As we move on to Upas Kasha, so we'll get back to this. But this is part of a general theory about Rabbi Meir Tam had about the Bittel, about Tamik Ikur, and Hetne Nebuch Le'asisar, etc. So the bottom line is Rabbi Meir Tam may very well have said it min haTorah. How do we pass in Lahalacha? So this is the Machlekes, the Mechaber, and the Ramah. So the Mechaber quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim, and the Ramah quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and that's what I practice in Ashkenazi communities, is that we follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam, either the Raisa, the Rabbanan, and we have to reckon with, we have to be concerned with Chatich Nas Nevela, even by Shaar Yisur. So you're probably thinking to yourselves, oh, come on, when does this ever, it never happens. This is, like you learn your day, you learn Chul, and you can spend 3 months talking about the Lomdus of Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Raisa back and forth, and you really think it never happens until once it happened. I received a frantic call from a Rav, a friend of mine, right before Rosh Hashanah. He said, you won't believe this one. I said, try me. He said, you won't believe it. After he told us, he said, you're right, I don't believe you. Okay, it was a Maisha Kachoya. One of his balabatim had bought a couple of fish heads and was cooking up the fish heads, about five fish heads or so, was cooking up the fish heads for Rosh Hashanah, not like the pre-made, you know, the whitefish ones, like the old style of fish heads. He was cooking up about five of fish heads. So he looks inside, he notices there's a little something sticking out of the mouth of one of the fish heads. So I figured out what it was. He opened it up a little bit. It was a claw of a lobster. That fish, I guess the gefilte fish, had swallowed a lobster, whatever kind of fish it was, whitefish, had swallowed a piece of lobster, and it was very, very much there. It had not been, Rishonim, Tosis has a whole discussion about when animals eat, treif animals, you know, one animal eats the other animal, so at what point do you say that the food is digested? Tosis quotes all kind of shaylos about chametz. There's a common practice in the old days, they were shech chickens, and Pesach, the chicken, you open up and you see that there's wheat inside. The chicken just ate the day before, and the wheat hadn't yet been digested. Gaval, the chametz. So the whole tumult in the Rishonim. At what point do you say that the wheat has lost its status of being wheat? When is it considered to be fully digested? It's actually because of that there was a minig in some communities not to eat chicken on Pesach. Believe it or not, there was such a community. Hashem, we don't have that minig. If you combine that with gebracht and a few other minhagim, so you're going to lose an awful lot of weight on Pesach. But there was a minig in some communities to stop eating chicken on Pesach because it was getting too complicated because they were shech the chickens opening them up. And Baruch Hashem that they feed the chicken corn this man has that, so it's not, it's only kidney, it's problems, not a chametz child. So back to the story. So here you open up the fish head and you see lo and behold there's a piece of lobster with a little bit of meat on the claw. So the question is, Gavalt, we have a treifa shana, lobster last we check, it's a treifa, this is dava tame, it's dava asar. So how does that impact on this whole pot? So This Rav's initial reaction was, how does it impact on the pot? Well, the Bashisha pulls out the old Yerodeya. You have to go back to Yismich, and it says, you're Bucky and Yerodeya, how much meat of the lobster, how much lobster is it? It's like five big, big fish nets. How much could possibly be there? So I said, wait, not so simple. The Ramah tells us, when the Ramah is machmas Rabbi Natan, that this Chatichanas Nevela, Bishari Surim, the Ramah tells us, how do you figure out whether something is one big tarovis, or whether it's a chatich alavad, and then it goes in stages. When it goes in stages, it becomes a problem. So the way that the Gemara talks about is, whatever's above the waterline, whatever's out of the pot, so that's the chaticha, and then it goes under the waterline, then it becomes a problem. So the Ramah calls to Mishanim who say that sometimes you can have things which are in the same pot, or under the same waterline, but they're what's called an issa dovok, that the davra asur is stuck to the davra mutter. It's mamish together. Like, let's say you throw in a piece of meat into a pot, and there happens to be some chaleb on the piece of meat. So even though it's true that it's all within the same water, but whatever's davuk biyachad, of course that's the bliyas is happening first. Of course that's step number one, and then the subsequent bliyas is happening later. Whenever something is davuk and biyachad zebezeh, so that's automatically considered to be a two-stage process, which spells trouble for chadichah das nevela. So when you have a lobster claw that is stuck inside a fish head, that's viewed in Allah like it's a davuk. That's good. It's the one time that we've ever passed in that principle. It's a davuk in the last 100 years. So you have an issa davuk in a davra mutter, so that's an automatic red flag for chatichah nasa devela. So basically what we're saying is that the bliyas are happening from the lobster into fish head number one first, and that fish head number one does not have shish to be involved with the lobster. Once that fish head number one gets a bliya from the lobster, it becomes chatichah nasa devela. And now you have to be mishar connected that entire fish head. Do you have shishim in the other? There are only five fish heads there. If you had 60 fish heads, then maybe we can discuss it. You had five fish heads. So even though it's true in the volume of the entire pot, you probably had shishim connected the drop of lobster, but because it was a davuk, it's a davuk. And it's a davuk, it's called chatichah nasa devela. And there are more paskas like Rabbeinu Tam against Rabbeinu Ephraim. You now have a problem that you just trafed up your entire, all five of your fish heads, as well as your pot. Because everything is all al smach, that original lobster meat, that giving pleas off into the entire story. So I told that Rav that I think you have to throw the whole thing out. That all the Neil Rosh, Neil Lozano, I don't know where you're going to be that year, but you're not going to be a Rosh. You don't want to be a Trefer Rosh, you're going to be a Kosher Rosh. So I told him that you have to tell those people that they cannot eat those fish heads, and I think they have to cash in the pot as well. So some of you may remember I spoke about this on that Rosh Hashanah. I think it was the Rosh Hashanah Shia. So I spoke about it. So I used to joke that afterwards that if you want to know just how litvish actual is, this is what we speak about in Rosh Hashanah, about Chadich Nasel B'Shar Surim. That's Chazar B'Tshuva. That's going to get you that's going to get you to Yemei Hadin. Anyway, so these strange scenarios do every once in a not a blue moon, it's not Rosh Hashanah, but it happens once in a while. Okay. There's another important principle that emanates from that sugya of Tipas Cholav, is that bliyas require a conduit in order to travel with. And it's usually liquid that carries bliyas with them. So the Gemara talks about the rotev and the water, and that kind of stuff brings bliyas. What if you have two items that are dry, that are just sitting and touching one, they're being very, very hot, they're sitting and touching one another, but there's no liquid to speak of, and there's nothing to actually bring the bliya from one to another. So again, we're only dealing with bliyas. There's nothing to end. We can't see anything here. We have, let's say, a drop of milk falls into one chaticha, and that one chaticha touches another chaticha, but everything is dry. They're both above the water level. So the Gemara has a lashon in Maseches Chulin that mevla bola mefla polat, that bliyas happen. The piece of meat gets the bliya of milk, but when it touches the other dry piece, it's not going anywhere. It needs something to travel. It's got to latch on to water, to rotate, to something, in order for it to schlep from one piece to another. So that principle is very, very important. Not so much in terms of chatichas, because again, tishas don't happen that often. But this is a klal that the Rishon developed, that ein balua yotze mechatich lechatich ela de roitev. That's the basic yisod. Ein balua yotze mechatich ela de roitev. So come the Rishonim and added a corollary to that principle, that what's the difference whether it's going mechaticha lechaticha? What about if it's two other dry things, two kalim? What if I have a kli that has a bliya in it? I have a pot that has bliyas of fleshix inside. The pot's clean, but it's bliyas legamri of fleshix inside it, and it touches another dry pot. Will anything happen? Can bliyas go from one dry pot to another dry pot? So So the answer is probably not. That if ein abalua yotz mechaticha lechaticha elay derota, but that's what the Gemara says, black and white in Maseches Kuvin. So, or according to most of Shem, it says black and white. The Ran claims that the Gemara never really said it, but everyone else said, thought the Gemara did say it. That ein abalua yotz mechaticha lechaticha elay derota. So the corollary of that is that ein abalua yotz mechli lechli elay derota as well. So that becomes a very, very helpful principle. So if you're ever wondering how we do something in our kitchens, most of us do this, most are not machmor in this, we do something in our kitchens that we have to scratch your head and ask, why are we doing this? We have burners, we have stovetops in our kitchen. So we put up a pot of chicken soup on the burner, finish cooking. You know? And tomorrow morning, we're cooking up our oatmeal with our milk or something, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, show of hands, who doesn't look to see what was on the burner before? Who just puts things on burners? I mean, I don't put anything in anything, but my wife puts things on burners. We usually assume that the burners just are kind of, you know, part of the kind of, you know, nothing happened. What do you mean nothing happened? You just put a blazing hot fleshy pot on that burner. Didn't something happen? So the answer is probably not. And the reason why probably nothing happened was because Ein Habalua Yotze Mechaticha Lechaticha, with its corollary, Ein Habalua Yotze Mechli Lechli Elenei Rotev. So unless there was some unbelievable spill of chicken soup that's still sitting there, so that all you have, if I look at the burner, so everything's just bleas. So bleas don't go from one kli to another kli, unless some kind of a rotev that assists it to go. So that is part of the famous kula, Moshe has a tshuva, why he explains why this is what the Minyan Yisrael is, that people do. People use the same stovetops for everything back and forth and back and forth. Nobody looks to see. So one of the reasons why the Olam is so makel on this is because Ein Abalua Yatz B'chaticha L'ticha, Ein Abalua Yatz B'chaticha. If you think about it, so then there shouldn't really be much of a difference between going from Fleishik to Milchik or going from Treif to Kosher as well. So let's say I have a Treif stovetop. I go to my non-Jew's house, a non-Jewish establishment, and I want to put my kosher pot on top of the Treif burner. So L'chora, there should be nothing wrong with that. It's the same principle, plug in the same rule, that whatever chazer was cooked on top of that, so what? The worst case scenario, some of the chazer spilled into the burner. It's already, I can't see it anymore, it's very cleaned off. So now when I put my kosher pot on top of that tray for burner, what happened? Nothing. So fundamentally, there's no difference between what I do in my own house, between Fleishik and Milchiks, and doing it in a goy's house, a goy's restaurant, a goy's establishment, with trayfus as well. Somehow the second one like doesn't sit in us well. We get a little eerie, a little queasy about that. But in pure halacha, it sounds like it's the same thing. So hopefully, Metzah Shem, not next week. Next week we'll be off. Hopefully, Shem in 2 weeks. So we'll continue with this nakuda of just how far this principle takes us. And again, this principle is part of Tikkun Cholam. This appears in the Gemara. The source of this principle is in the Gemara. We'll try to take this to the next level. See how this plays out for us tonight.
Lobster claw gives
Tom. So what is it? Well, that's a problem. We could have just explored the whole other story. It could be a pizza.